There's nothing special about being American. None of you can define for me what an American is.
I am the nation. I was born on July 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run in my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed. I am many things and many people. I am the nation. I'm 200 million living souls and the ghost of millions who have lived and died for me. I'm Nathan Hale and Paul Revere. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard round the world. I'm Washington, Jefferson, Patrick Henry. I'm John Paul Jones, the Green Mountain Boys, Davy Crockett. I'm Lee.
Coming to you from the D-Tom Studios in the free state of Florida, sponsored by Maker's Mark Bourbon. This is Don't Tread on America. Yeah. Your host, Don Q. Let's go. Come on. All right, guys. How's everybody doing out there today? It is Thursday, March 28th, 2024. March. We're a quarter of the way, right? Quarter? Four? Yeah. Quarter of the year. Quarter of the way through. Yep. Time's flying, right? Easter's next. Is this weekend, I should say. And I will not be... No, I'm going to do a show. But I'm not going to do it on Easter. I'll probably record it on Saturday. But there will be an Easter show. We will have a live Easter egg hunt. The Easter Bunny will be in none of that will happen. It'll be Saturday night. My wife will be working. So I'll be drinking some whiskey and doing a show. I don't know what we're going to talk about. We'll figure that out later. Let's worry about what we're going to talk about today. Now, on the subject of today, I've been thinking about stuff. It's crazy. And there's been a lot of talk lately about the eclipse that's coming up on April 8th, which is a week from this Monday. And I'm going to give you some of my thoughts on that whole situation and how it may or very well could affect each and every one of us living here in this country. But before we get to that, I want to please make sure that whatever podcast app you're listening to this on, you are following the show. If you're new to the show, please make sure you're following the show, you're subscribed, whatever the button is on whatever podcast app you're listening to. It doesn't cost you a penny. You're already here. You're listening to it. I know there's days I might have a lackluster show. Look, like I've said 370-something times, I'm just a dude with a full-time job and a part-time podcast. So some days I come in with fire and I give you one hell of a show. And some days I don't. I admit it. I will totally admit that. But I'm only human. I'm not making one penny off of this unless you would like to send me a check to P.O. Box. No. But you could check out our sponsors here. We got the D-Tom store. Here's one of the shirts off the D-Tom store. If you're watching this on Rumble TV, on Don't Tread on America TV on Rumble. And over here we got Reaper Apparel Co. Don't forget about either of those. ReaperApparelCo.com. Use D-Tom in the promo code. You get 10% off your order. You go to the D-Tom store. I do have a promo code. It doesn't really matter because you get free shipping and you can't use both. Free shipping outweighs the 10% anyway. So if you want to help me out, just a guy doing a podcast, you know, a couple times a week, those are the ways you can support the show. All that money, whatever money I do make from that stuff, I don't even take the money out. It goes right back into the show. I use it to help pay for the websites, the stuff, man, the podcasting fees and all this stuff. Not that it's hundreds of thousands of dollars, but I mean, in all honesty, if I'm going to be honest with you guys, I'm probably spending about, I don't know, 80, 100 bucks a month. I think, I don't know, it's a 30, 30, 60. So, yeah, it's about 80 bucks or so a month that I'm spending. So it's not a ton of money. It's kind of like a hobby. But as much as any of you guys that have a job out there, you would love to be able to do something and get paid for something that you love to do. Well, I actually do love doing this. I would do it 5 days a week if I had the time to be able to gather information for, you know, to talk about. This isn't as easy as it seems. And it's not like bullshitting with your friends. It's like when Chris was on the show, it was a little bit different because it was kind of like that. He was here. We were just kind of bullshitting back and forth. And we'd each have some, you know, little stories or whatever to talk about. When you're doing, when you do a show like this by yourself, and I'm not big time, I don't have producers that help put stuff together, give me ideas or whatever. It's me. It's just, there's three of us in this studio right now. There's me, and then there's myself, and then there's I. There's all three of us. I produce, direct, write, find the crap to talk about for the most part. I mean, Chris occasionally sends me some stuff. But it's a one-man show. So when you work a full-time job like you guys, many of you guys do, I'm not saying I'm better than you because I work. I'm sure you guys work at least one, if not two. You might even probably work more hours than I do. But imagine doing that than trying to find an hour or so worth of content to talk about on top of your husbandly duties or wifely duties or whatever, where you know, you got to do yard work, you might have to help out in the house and those types of things. It's a daunting task. If I could get paid for this and not have to work, different story, totally different story. That's where you guys come in. You can start paying me $100,000 a year. And no, I'm joking. But if you want to, that's fine too. But seriously, let's get to the show. All right, guys. Also, before I get into it real quick, make sure that you are following us on social media. We are Don't Tread America, obviously, on Facebook, Instagram, Ticker Talker, and True Social. Ticker Talker is just drink recipes. Now, I will say this. I haven't done a drink recipe in a while, so I'm thinking of something to do maybe this weekend. We'll see. But if you want to follow me there, also on the Twitter X Machine at DTom_1775. And don't forget about our website, DontTreadAmerica.com. And if you want to email me directly, it is DonQ@DontTreadOnAmerica.com. So do that. If you have any questions, any concerns, any ideas, anything you think that we could talk about on this show, send it my way. I will look at it. If it's something I think would be interesting to the ones of tens of people that listen to this show, I'm joking, then I'll talk about it, you know. Yeah, you know, I'll give you credit. Hell, if you want to talk to me personally, we can do that too. All right. So, before I get into the eclipse event, I got a couple of things I want to talk about. Nothing too daunting. Just something that came across. There's a mic there. Just something that came across my news feed today while I was working. And I wanted to bring it up because, you know, that's what I do. So, in New York City, I don't know that I have very many people that listen to this that live in New York City. Now, I do have listeners in New York, in the state. Not sure that you all are in the city, but nonetheless, it has begun. New York City begins handing out prepaid debit cards to illegal aliens. A $53 million pilot program. Illegals will get 40% more food aid assistance than Americans. So people that live in the city of New York right now, if you're on the SNAP program where you get, you know, food stamps or whatever, that equates to $7.59 a day. Okay, I think that's per person. Illegals get $12.52 a day. So, you know, about $5 more than what you, the American citizen, taxpayer, that just because you're on food stamps, and I know this for a fact, just because you're on food stamps doesn't mean you don't work. What it means is you don't make enough money with the job you have or jobs you have that you can feed yourself or feed your family for the most part. It's not necessarily about you, one person. It's about a family usually. So if you work, if you are in New York City and you have a job, and I'm going to get into this because I've been to New York City once and that was enough, and I'll explain why. But you know, I'm not telling you guys anything you don't know if you live in New York City. If you don't live in New York City, if you've never lived in New York City, if you've never visited New York City, I'm going to tell you this right now. It is, and this was pre-COVID that when we went, this was in 2017, I think, when we went up for vacation, me and my wife. And it's not a cheap place to visit. I can't imagine it's any cheaper to live. And like I said, this was pre-COVID. Now things are so much more expensive. But back then, I recall the one thing that made me most interesting. Now, you saw a lot of homeless people. And I'm not saying New York has a homeless people problem. Everywhere has a homeless people problem. The one thing that I noticed a lot in New York City was that a lot of your homeless, and I'm using air quotes if you're watching me on Rumble, that's Don't Tread on America TV on Rumble. There's a lot of homeless people that actually work. Now, I'm saying that, and it might sound stupid to you, but I live in Florida, right? Where I live in Florida, the only work I ever see homeless people doing is standing on the corner with their little sign saying, you know, I need money, basically. And I would say a large portion of those people say that they're homeless vets. Now, I'm kind of twofold on that whole situation. I hope that they're not homeless vets, you know what I'm saying? But then if they are homeless vets, that's a tragedy in itself. But if they're not a vet and they're using that as a reason to get people or sympathy or whatever, then that's another story. But point being is this. I don't know of many homeless people that live in the area that I live in that work a full-time job, but yet are still homeless. I'm not saying they don't, but I don't think most of these people stand on the corner and wait for cars to come by and give them a dollar or 10 or 5 or whatever. In New York City, a lot of people that are homeless actually work a full-time job. As crazy as that sounds. Now, I don't recall seeing a lot of people sleeping on the streets. I'm not saying that didn't exist. Not that we roamed the streets of New York City at night, so I'm not saying it didn't exist. But one thing that made me curious was we were going on a tour bus. You know, they have these double-decker tour buses that go through the city. The majority of those individuals that are on those buses that are telling you about this landmark and that landmark and whatever, those individuals are homeless. Not all of them, but some of them are. And I didn't think nothing about it. It's like I asked. But, not initially, I shouldn't say. But we were going on a tour. I think we did 2 different days. We did a tour. And the gentleman that was doing the tour, that was, narrating the tour, comes to the bus. So you have the driver. He's sitting there. And then you have, I don't remember the guy's name, you know, Bob Johnson shows up to narrate the tour. And he's got a suitcase with him. He's got his luggage with him. And I'm like, is this dude going on? Is he going somewhere? You know, and I realize he works for the company doing the tours. Come to find out, and very insightful, very knowledgeable person. He knew a lot about a lot of things. But after the fact, come to find out that the reason he had luggage with him was because he was homeless. So now he's a gentleman. He was an older gentleman too. I mean, he wasn't a kid. That works a job, I'm assuming, at the time was probably a full-time job. I mean, it probably is now again, but I'm sure during COVID he didn't work at all. But regardless of that, he, you know, in New York City, you make actually pretty good money because you have to. The cost of living is so high. So I would be willing to bet that he was probably making 15 or maybe more dollars an hour. And depending on where you're listening to me from right now, you might be thinking, well, that's not bad. 7 years ago, if you were making 15, 20 bucks an hour, that's pretty good money. And even now, it's not horrible money, but granted, everything is so much more expensive between gas. I mean, not the Korean diversity hire thing, so, but between gas and everything in the grocery store, plus if you rent and stuff like that, those numbers are higher. So $20 an hour doesn't go as far as it did 7 years ago. But in New York City, if he was making that much money 7 years ago, that would be like making $20 an hour or $15 an hour now wherever you live. So in New York, they might be making $30 an hour. You see what I'm saying? Point being is this. Those individuals work a full-time job, go out there and bust their ass, whether they're narrating a tour or they might be working at a construction site. They might be, they're doing something and they're probably making 12, 15, 20, whatever dollars an hour. You are getting $7.59 for you and your family a day. Whereas these illegals that didn't do anything more than walk, maybe catch a flight, maybe catch a bus to get to New York City, who are also probably working, maybe not, because they're also getting, what, $5,000 debit cards and free hotels and shit like that, so maybe not. But they're getting $12.52 a day on top of New York. I'm assuming the city says it will spend $15 billion and on illegal services. So if you are a person who works a minimum wage job, whatever that number is in New York City, and you're getting your $7.59 a day per person on a EBT card or SNAP card, whatever you want to call it, and you're struggling, you might be homeless. You might live in a home with 10 other people just because, you know, rent's $3,000 a month. And you have to pay that $3,000 a month rent. You probably have to walk to work or anywhere else you're going because you damn sure can't afford a car, let alone even a taxi for that matter. You get $7 a day from the government to help you pay for your groceries, per, you know, and that's per person, you know, and your family. In the meantime, these illegals probably don't work. Maybe they work. I don't know. But they get free shelter, free health care, free mental health care, free legal help to help them with their illegal activities, and ID cards, free English classes, and a public education, which granted, everyone gets that. But you, the American worker that lives in New York City, and you make whatever you make, you are not only, let's just say for shits and giggles, let's say you're making 25 bucks an hour, okay? You're working 40 hours a week, so you're making, what's that, $900 a week, right? Before taxes. Now, just know that in the state of New York, and I think there's a city tax in New York. So, like, I live in Florida. I don't have a state tax. There's no city tax. I pay my federal income tax every year, and that's that. Now, there are states that have state taxes. There are cities that have city taxes. I think New York is one of those cities. So you get a paycheck where not only does the federal government take their share, the state takes their share, and the city takes their share. Now, that city share is going to, not all of it, but some of it, is going to these illegal aliens. In the meantime, to pay for their shelter, their health care, their $12.52 a day and food stamps, and everything else that you have to pay for, plus lose money out of your paycheck because of that. The things that should piss you off royally, and then you continue to vote for these individuals, whether it be Eric Adams or whatever the governor's name is, Kathy Horbitch or whatever, and or Biden for that matter. You guys have got to understand, I'm not saying that Trump is the answer. I'm not saying that Lee Zeldin, or was he? No, he was running for governor. I don't know who was running against Adams, but not to say that those people are the answers. But I can tell you what's not the answer is voting for the same motherfuckers year after year and having these same fucking results. Now, I'm not going to be the guy that sits here and does a podcast and says, if you live in New York City, you need to move, because it's not easy. If you're barely struggling, or not barely struggling, if you're struggling and barely trying to make ends meet, you don't have the money to move. It's not that easy. Now, I know in Florida, you have it, depending on what your job qualifications are, there are situations where you can move. Like, so if you're a police officer in New York, or a firefighter, or those types of situations, there are services where they will move you to Florida and different parts of Florida to be a police officer, be a firefighter, whatever. Now, if you work at, you know, Subway, or if you work at the Subway, or you work on, you know, the tour buses or those types of things, obviously those jobs don't necessarily equate to Florida. They do in parts of Florida, but not all of Florida. So the only way you can fix your problem is not for me to sit here and tell you, you need to move. You need to get out of the city. You need to move to, you know, to wherever. It's easier said than done. I get it. I understand 100%. So the only way you can fix your problem is to not vote for these stupid fuckers. I don't care what color they are. I don't care what pretty words they say. Actions speak louder than words. When Eric Davis is up for re-election in a couple of years, if you guys that live in the city re-elect him, that's on you. I'm sorry, but you deserve it. I'm not saying you deserve it right now, but in 2 years or whenever his re-election is up, vote for him again, and I'll never say two fucking words about New York City, because I'm telling you one thing. When I went there 7 years ago, it wasn't that bad. The city is fucking crowded, and you pretty much walk everywhere. Not that you have to, like you can get a cab or whatever, but it's actually kind of easier to walk everywhere, and things are relatively, for the most part, close enough. You know, you can hop on the subway, went up to Yankee Stadium, but for the most part, you can pretty much, depending on where you stay, I should say, we stayed right in Manhattan, so we could pretty much walk wherever we wanted to go. But it's crowded. It is fucking ridiculously crowded. And when we left, I told my wife, I said, you know what? I saw it. I'm good. I don't ever need to come back. And that was 7 years ago when it wasn't that bad. I can only imagine what it's like now. The $53 million illegal alien pilot program is more than the Department of Veterans Services of $21 million. The Office of National and Community Services of $18 million, the Division of Human Rights, $25 million, and the city's Cancer Service Program, which is $19.8 million. The program will provide illegal families of four with two children with up to $350 a week until the end of their stay. Where is the money coming from? Taxes are raised on U.S. citizens, not so much U.S. citizens, but y'all in New York City. The state borrows money and has to pay it back later with interest, take money away from other social services, often from needy Americans, kind of like the people that we're talking about. According to estimates, illegal immigration will cost U.S. taxpayers, that's all of us, $150 billion. If that story alone doesn't piss you off, I don't know what does. I could probably end the show there, but we've only been doing 23 minutes. And I got to roll because I got a lot of shit to talk about. Real quick, John Stewart could be heading to jail, folks. John Stewart from The Daily Show. You might like him and you might not. I kind of do, but I also don't. You know, that if that makes any sense. Like, if he would just not be so political, he'd be fine. But some of these people just can't keep the fucking mouth shut. But anyway, John Stewart found to have overvalued his New York City home by 829% after labeling Trump's civil cases not victimless. John Stewart is facing online backlash after a comedian opined on air this week that Trump's civil real estate case for overvaluing his properties was not a victimless crime, when it turns out the price of the previous home sale finds Stewart doing the exact same thing. On Monday night, Stewart, 61, unpacked Trump's $454 million appeal bond, calling out experts framing the former president's New York civil case as not causing direct harm to any individual. The Daily Show host rolled a clip of CNN's Laurel Coates interviewing Shark Tank star Kevin O'Leary, who commented that the ruling didn't go over well with the real estate industry that was now fretting over the possibility of becoming the next target. Coach responded earlier by highlighting that Trump was found liable for falsifying business records in the second degree, issuing false financial statements, issuing insurance fraud and conspiracy, all to assets inflation. Everything that you just listed off is done by every real estate developer everywhere on earth in every city. This has never been prosecuted. This is what Kevin O'Leary said. In response, Stewart asked, how is he not this mad about the overvaluations in the real world? Because they are not victimless crimes. This is what Stewart said. Excuse me. To further his point, Stewart argued that money isn't infinite. A loan that goes to the liar doesn't go to someone who's giving a more honest evaluation. So the system becomes incentivized for corruption. Stewart also contended that failing to declare a higher market value on property while paying taxes on a lower asset value constitutes fraudulent behavior. The Attorney General of New York knew that Trump's property values were inflated because when it came time to pay the taxes, Trump undervalued the very same property. Stewart added, it was all part of a very specific real estate practice known as lying. But it didn't take long for internet sleuths to look into Stewart's own property history, which shows an overvaluation of his New York City penthouse by a staggering 829%. Records confirmed by the Post reveal, In 2014, Stewart sold his 6,200-square-foot Tribeca duplex to financer Parag Pandit Panda. I don't know. As a plane flies overhead. Thanks, Amazon. For $17.5 million, the property's asking price at the time was not available in listing records. But according to 2013-14 assessor records obtained by the Post, the property had an estimated market value of only $1.8 million. The actual assessor evaluation was even lower at $847,000. Records showed that Stewart paid significantly lower property taxes, which were calculated based on the assessor valuation price, precisely what he called Trump out for doing on his Monday monologue. Panda, who purchased the penthouse from Stewart, then resold the property at nearly a 26% loss, according to The Real Deal, at just over $13 million in 2021. So there is a victim. See, in Trump's case, there was no victim. And the reason I say there was no victim, it is a victimless crime because let's just say he overvalued. Okay, I'm not going to argue that point. Okay, he went to the bank, said, I don't know the dollar amount, but so just for shits and grins, I'm going to say $100 million. He went to the bank, said, I need $100 million. My property over here is worth $120 million. The bank said, cool, we'll give you the loan. Okay, here's a couple things. Number one, if the common man out there, not John Stewart, but you or me, we go and buy a house, okay? What happens? Okay, I'm looking at a house, it's $250,000, the people want to sell it for $250,000, okay? And you go to the house, you look at it, okay, it's pretty nice, I like it, I'll pay $250,000. You agree on the price, whatever that price is. Maybe you lowball them a little bit and say $245,000, and they agree on that, and you go for $245,000, whatever. So then you go to the bank and you say, I'm going to buy this house at 123 Mockingbird Lane. I need $245,000 for this house. What happens then? Anybody? Does anybody know what happens at this point? They send a surveyor, whatever, out to survey the land and see if it's worth $245,000 because the bank doesn't want to overextend itself on a property that might only be worth $200,000. And then what the bank will do, they'll come out and say, okay, well, sir, we find that this house is only worth, based on the area, and it could be a nice house, but based on the area, let's say it's only worth $220,000. So the maximum amount of the loan that they're going to give you is $220,000, which means that if you really want this house, you have to come up with the other $25,000, right? So now if they, the bank, didn't send someone out to see if his property was worth what he said it was worth, number one, that's on them, okay? But they did not do that for the fact that he was a good customer. He had done this many of times. He had taken out plenty of loans. And not only had he taken out plenty of loans, he paid those loans back on time, if not beforehand, which netted the bank, the lending company, a profit. Okay, so if they lent him $100 million at, you know, whatever percent, and he paid it back, and let's say it was a 20-year loan, but he paid it back in, say, 10 years, they made their, and they got all their money back. They made money. You understand how this works? So the only victim would have been the bank if he didn't finish paying off the loan. The bank made their money with a profit plenty of times. The insurance companies, once again, same thing. They go out and evaluate the land. If they don't think whatever you're saying it's worth is, they're not going to cover you for that amount. They're going to cover you for the amount they feel it's worth. It's the same way if you've ever bought a house. If you've ever bought a house or a property of some sort, you can't just tell the bank that it's worth X amount of dollars or the insurance company that it's worth X amount. You can't do that. And if you are able to do that, once again, that's on the bank. That's on the insurance company. It doesn't happen like that. So since he covered all his bets, no victims. In this case, Mr. Stewart, you sold it. Granted, Parag should have done his due diligence instead of saying, yeah, 17.5, cool. Here you go. But your victim is Parag Pandey, whatever, where he paid $17 million for an actual assessment valuation of $847,000. So essentially, he overpaid by, what's that, $16.7 million? And then when he sold it just a few years ago, he sold it for 13. So I don't know what the evaluation was. I'm sure it wasn't 13. If the market value in 14 was 1.8, with the actual assessor valuation being 800,000, I mean, it might have been worth, the market value might have gone up to, I don't know, let's say 8. Hell, I'll even give him 10 at that rate. And he sold it for 13. So he sold it over value, but he still lost $4.5 million from jackass that sold it to him. So there's your victim. There is a victim crime. There is a crime. What is the one thing they say? If there's no victim, there's no crime. If you can't find the body, there's no murder, right? So this, all this crap going on with Trump in New York is a bunch of bullshit, number one. And Kevin O'Leary is 100% correct in the fact that if you continue to do business in New York, you're stupid, because what would ever stop them from going after you? Now, they won't go after Stewart because he's Stewart. He's John Stewart. He's a Democrat. He's on their side. But if you're Trump, it's a different story. All right, let's get on with the business at hand. So let's talk about the April 8th, 2024 eclipse, which is in the, which is the twin sister of the 2017 eclipse. Never before has an eclipse crossed over the U.S. and then 7 years later, do it again in the opposite direction, forming an X across middle America. The this eclipse is part of the Saros 139, which has 71 eclipses spanning almost 1,000 years. It is interesting to note that the only two words that show up 71 times in the Bible are Elijah and Hebron. Elijah being the greatest prophet that ever lived, and Hebron being the burial place of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all their wives except Rachel. Just like Elijah shows up 71 times in the scripture, so does this eclipse. And out of the 71 eclipses, this one in particular just so happens to be the 30th one, connecting it to a very prophetic number in Scripture and the age of Yeshua, more commonly referred to as Jesus. So from this point forward, I'm going to refer to him as Jesus. When he started his ministry, he was 30 when he started his ministry. While the eclipse of 2017 would highlight seven cities named Salem and find its place of maximum totality over a little area known as Little Egypt in southern Illinois, the eclipse of 2024 would up the ante by going through 26 cities named Salem, meaning the two eclipses would go through a total of 33 of the 36 cities named Salem, another highly prophetic number pointing to the Messiah who was crucified at the age of 33. So why not all 36? Now, I believe that he personally left three outside of the darkness because there were 3 years that Jesus was in Salem and Jerusalem, and it was not in darkness while he was there. So we have an eclipse representing the start of his ministry, one for the end of his ministry, and the remaining three Salems represent how many years the light Jesus was actually in Jerusalem. It's also incredible to learn that there were only seven cities in the entire U.S. named Nineveh, and the 2024 eclipse passes directly over two of them, while four more are barely outside the area of totality. Nineveh, of course, was the city that Jonah was sent to warn them of their pending doom if they did not repent. There are only two cities in the whole U.S. named Jonah, and the eclipse goes right over the top of one of them in Texas. Could this be a hidden warning for the American modern-day Nineveh to repent from its current trajectory or face the same judgment of God? You know, I believe this could very well be the case, and that the four that are barely outside the total darkness could be symbolic that there is still a chance for us to repent. While the 2017 eclipse hit its maximum totality in a place called Little Egypt, the actual epicenter finds itself right next to two lakes called Devil's Kitchen and Egypt Lake. And against all mathematical possibilities, the 2024 eclipse crosses the 2017 eclipse in precisely the exact place in southern Illinois, with the epicenter of the quote-unquote X marks the spot being right over a single road in the middle of the national forest, just a few miles west of Devil's Kitchen. And what's the name of that road? Anyone? Bueller? None other than Salem Road. Out of the millions of roads it could have pointed to, it went to Salem Road, the ancient name for Jerusalem. While all attention has been on the two solar eclipses that intersect in the middle of the U.S., there was another annual solar eclipse that crossed the lower southwest of the U.S. just this past October in 2023, which just so happened to be at the beginning of the Israeli-Gaza war, when the 2023 eclipse is laid over the other two eclipses from 2017 and the upcoming one in 2024, something rather weird shows up. While most people wouldn't really connect the shape to anything, an ancient Israelite would have immediately recognized it as the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph. Although it's clear that the 2017 and 2024 eclipse makes an X over America, King David would have said it was the last letter in the Hebrew alphabet, the letter Tav. This is more than incredible, as the ancient meaning Aleph is strength of the leader, and the meaning of Tav is the last letter. Literally means the mark of the covenant. So, real quick, if what I'm telling you here, right, this, now I'm reading this obviously, but it's something I wrote earlier today and it's long, so I'm going to take a break here real quick. But if you go on Google, you can go to Wikipedia, you can look up the Hebrew alphabet. if you look at the map of the three solar eclipses, the one in 23, the one in 17, the one coming up, and then look at the Hebrew alphabet, you'll understand that that's the first letter Aleph. If you take the 2023 one out and you look at the one where it's an X, it's not, granted, it's not a perfect X. It's kind of like a little crooked. It looks like the letter from the last letter from the alphabet, Tav. When you put these two words together, it literally means the leader of the covenant. When you put these two words, the covenant or the strength of the mark. With Jesus being called the Alpha and the Omega, the Aleph and Tav, God is literally signing his son's name across the entire United States, letting us know that the leader of the covenant is coming, that he is the king of Jerusalem. He is the Aleph Tav judge, the strength of the mark that will soon be on the forehead of his saints. And he is warning America that its light will go dark if we do not turn from our wicked ways. So why could this be a warning? Not only does the Bible connect eclipses to judgment and to the end of and to end of time events, but look back in history when these types of events happen. If you look back at some of the total solar eclipses that only went through American soil, find out that there were only 8 total solar eclipses that have happened over the U.S. since the founding of our country. And all of these were connected to war and pestilence. During 2 in the 1700s was the Revolutionary War. In the 1800s, there was the Civil War. And in 1979, or in the 1970s, was the Vietnam War. There is a consistent pattern for thousands of years of total eclipses that bring war and very bad omens. One of the last times that two formed an X over the United States was in 1806 and 1811. Coincidentally enough, 3 months after the second eclipse on December 16th, 1811, was the largest earthquake in the history of the mainland U.S. So powerful, the Mississippi River ran backwards, flooding the plains, destroying everything in its path. It rang the Liberty Bell over 1,300 miles away on the East Coast. Now, if something like that happened today, you got to think, in 1811, how populated was the U.S.? How populated was the central U.S., for that matter? Because it wasn't like in San Francisco, which it still wouldn't have been that populated, but you know what I'm saying. How populated? If you go on a map and look at fault lines in the U.S., you'll be surprised at what you see. Most of us think of 2 fault lines in this country. We think of the New Madrid, which isn't very active, and you think of San Andreas, right? The center of the country has the biggest fault line that runs through it. You know, that's why you hear about earthquakes in Oklahoma and stuff like that. But if something, if this is true, and there's plenty of evidence that shows that solar eclipses have effects on earthquakes throughout history, not just in this country, but around the world. I mean, coincidentally enough, I think it was a week ago, there was an earthquake off the coast of Florida. I think I registered a 4. I mean, we were in Kentucky when this happened. But nonetheless, who ever heard of an earthquake off the coast of Florida? I mean, you got to ask yourself, what's going on here? Coincidentally, 6 months later was the beginning of the War of 1812. So, in essence, that was the last time that there was a perfect X formed over the United States. So you're talking, what was that, 200, 50, you know, 10 whatever years ago? Could that be the beginning of something? Coincidentally, you had the one in 2023, October, that's kind of signaled the beginning of the Gaza-Israeli situation. Now we have this coming. It's just interesting to know. And then look at all the events, the things that are happening. Now, like I talked about the other day about the ship hit the bridge in Baltimore, the Francis Scott Key Bridge. And now I've never seen the movie, but the movie that the Obamas did on Netflix, The End of the World or whatever it's called, there was a scene in the movie where a shipping container ship went out of control and ran up on the beach. I didn't see the movie, but I saw a clip. But, you know, it's just weird how a lot of these things are starting to take place. And then you have a situation like this that has never happened in, you know, hasn't happened in 200 years in this country. But the last time it did happen, there was two significant events that occurred around, you know, after the fact. I'm not saying that that is going to happen, but if you look at all the way things are lining up, the path of this this particular eclipse coming up runs up through Mexico into Texas, coincidentally enough, through Eagle Pass. I mean, is that coincidence? Or is this whole thing with the migrants and shit that happens to be centered across this small-ass park in South Texas that's coming across right where that point is? You got to think the whole border of Texas, and not Texas is a small state, but this is the point that we've been talking about for, what, the past 6-7 months? Eagle Pass, probably longer. You know, probably for the last year, we've been talking about Eagle Pass, Texas. I mean, legitimately. Nationally. I'm not just talking about in Texas. Maybe you've been talking about longer in Texas. But nationally, every time you turn on the news, it's Eagle Pass, Texas. Eagle Pass. Governor Abbott, they're standing the guard. They're Eagle Pass, Texas. Eagle Pass. And then this fucking eclipse happens to be going right through Eagle Pass, Texas, on top of the fact that it's going through all these cities named Salem and Nineveh. And then you look at biblical terms and what those mean. I am not the most biblical kind of guy. Now, I am an ordained minister, for those of you that didn't know that. I have performed weddings. I did my son's and my daughter's. I am available. You can find me at donq@don'tturnamerica.com. But anyway, I don't go to church every week. I don't do those things because I believe church is in you. That's my personal opinion, and I believe that's not even just my opinion. That's the opinion of Jesus himself. I personally believe that most churches are corrupt and crooked, and they're not there for the right reasons. Not all of them, but most of them. That's just my opinion. Take it for what it's worth. I believe if you believe and you lead a good life and you do the things you have to do and you are right by Jesus and God, you're going to be fine. He's not going to say, well, you didn't go to church every Sunday and every Wednesday for the X amount of years that you were alive, so go to hell. It doesn't work like that. So anyway, so I just think it's interesting. And then when you look at everything else that's, excuse me, still getting over this cold, that's going to take place on this day, it makes you wonder. So oddly enough, now I'm not saying that this is, I mean, this is very coincidental, but so every year that the CERN hydron collider, whatever that situation, I think it turns off generally in like October, November, somewhere around there. And then it goes through its, I want to say it's 18 weeks or something of calibrations and so on and so forth, where they're, you know, they're fixing it. They're tightening it up and doing whatever. And generally about this time every year, between the end of March, beginning of April, they turn it back on and get doing whatever they're doing over there. And coincidentally enough, this year they're turning it on. Anybody? Does anyone want to take a guess what day they're turning this fucking thing on? That's right, April 8th. Now, there's a lot of people out there that feel like now this Hadron Collider has been running since, what, late, I think early 2000s. I don't know the exact date. There's not really a definite time. There's a lot of people that you could have a conversation with that would link the Hadron Collider situation in CERN to a lot of the events we see today, from different UFO sightings, different sightings in general, maybe the situation that happened down in the Miami Mall last year. Or was it this year? Whenever it was. And like Mandela effects, how you constantly see, if you're on TikTok or Twitter and you see stuff where people are like, oh, I thought Chick-fil-A was spelled this way, or I thought Fruit Loops was with two O's and not, you know, however it is. And you see all these different things. Oh, Fruit of Loom never had a the whatever it's called, the little basket thing there, the cornucopia. You didn't think I knew. And I'm like, yeah, the fuck, it always had that cornucopia, but it doesn't, you know? So it's those types of things. And a lot of people will sit there and blame this type of stuff because we play God. And there's some people that even tell you that we're really all dead, that we died back in 2012. You know what? Yeah, right. We're all dead. We just, our brains haven't caught up to us yet. So in the past 12 years, I've managed to live my life, deal with cancer, and start a podcast. You're welcome. In the afterlife, we are podcasting. But so there's that. And the reason I'm telling you all this is because reason I want to bring all this up is because you're going to hear, as that date approaches, you're going to start hearing this stuff. And you're going to wonder why. Why didn't Don talk about it? What's going on here? But so, yeah, it started the McGillicuddy Large Hadron Collider anywhere between 98 and 2008. So there's no definite date, but nonetheless. Then, hold on. On top of that, we got NASA, right? And this, I'm not making this shit up, guys. This is, you can look it up. NASA program named after Serpent Deity plans to fire several rockets at the upcoming solar eclipse. Yeah, this is Forbes, guys. This isn't like from, you know, some fucking jackass sitting in his mom's basement. NASA announced it will fire three scientific sounding rockets into the moon's shadow on Monday, April 8th, during the partial solar eclipse across North America, and what will be a total solar eclipse for a 115-mile wide path through the parts of Mexico, 15 U.S. states, and Canada, and a partial solar eclipse for the entire America. The event will see sudden drop in sunlight, blah, 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 blah. I don't know why they're doing it. I don't care why they're doing it. They're firing three rockets at a motherfucking solar eclipse. On top of CERN turning on their fucking shit over there. On top of everything I just told you about in the Bible. And then NASA wants to call this program the Serpent Deity. And what is that? You know, I'm reading this and I'm like, I've heard that before. Oh, that's the snake gods. That's it's people that worship serpents. So, in early civilizations, serpent worship was common practice in ancient Mesopotamia. For example, the Sumerians worshipped a serpent god named blah 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 blah. Nigashada da da da. I don't know. Additionally, the Egyptians had a serpent god, Apep, traversing the primal waters and associated with their sun god, Ra. Serpent deities were not limited to these cultures. In Mexico and Peru, beings such as the Quetzalcoatl, I can't name these names. There's three names here, were worshipped. Other examples were the Naga King in India, Po Nagar in Vietnam, and serpent deities associated with the trees and lakes of various cultures. Various ancient cultures attribute different symbolic meanings to serpents. In some cases, snakes represented fertility, rebirth, and renewal, and even immortality. So, let's think about that. I just told you everything about the Bible. Rebirth, renewal, immortality. What's going on here, guys? I'm not making this stuff up. I gave you the stuff out of the Bible. It's there. You can look up the Hebrew alphabet and look for yourself. You can Google the last two solar eclipses with the third one coming next week, or, you know, yeah, in a week or so. You can look this stuff up. Hadron Collider is turning on April 8th. Look it up. NASA's shooting rockets. I'm not making this shit up. This is not a conspiracy theory situation. This is actually going to happen. Okay? It's happening. It's happening. Then, if I can get all these ads, on top of all of that, we can bring it right on back to God and the Bible. April 8th total solar eclipse. Well, guess what's also going to be visible during this time? If you're in an area that you're going to have total darkness, so in that part of America that you'll have total darkness, you will be able to see a comet. Not that it's coming to Earth necessarily, but you can see it. And you want to know the name of this comet by chance? You want to take a guess? It's called the Devil Comet. Once again, not making this stuff up, guys. Look it up yourself. When the moon blocks the sun on April 8th, the devil will follow, or rather, the devilish comet. The Devil Comet expected to appear during the eclipse is Comet 12P Pons Books, known for its greenish appearance and the horns that emits dust, gas, and ice due to sudden buildup of pressure. According to the Royal Astronomical Society, the comet itself is about the same size as Mount Everest. So, solar eclipse will be visible from North America when it makes its path from Texas all the way to Maine. So there's roughly 31.6 million people living along that path. So you guys, if you happen to be one of the people that are listening to the show anywhere from Texas to Maine, and you live along this path, mark my words, please. I hope you're listening to this. If you know somebody that lives in this, if you're living in this area and you know somebody that lives in this area, let them listen to this show. Share this with them and say, look, there is going to be some fucked up shit happening pretty soon. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and buy a shit ton of toilet paper and stuff like that, but you might want to get somewhat prepared, because I'm going to tell you another thing today, and I haven't seen anything about this. Now, I don't know if it was my phone. I mean, I don't think it was my phone. I don't have like a Boost Mobile or a Cricket or whatever. I'm on Verizon, not trying to brag or nothing, but I'm just saying it's pretty reliable networks, at least in Florida. I had no cell service all day today. None. My shit said SOS all day. I couldn't listen to no podcast, couldn't talk on the phone, couldn't do nothing. I was like, listen to music. I have no reason to know why that was the case. But could this be a situation? We had it, what, a month or so ago with the cell phone situation. Now we had this ship. Was it a cyber attack? I don't know. Now we got fucking NASA shooting missiles at damn solar eclipse. We got, you know, God coming back, possibly. We got a devil comet. We got CERN turning on their shit on April 8th. Guys, it's going to be a very interesting week coming up. I'm telling you this. I've talked for 3 years about being prepared for something. I don't know what that something is. Was it going to be a civil war? Was it going to be a war? Was it going to be total darkness? I don't know. And I don't think in any of those aspects you could ever be prepared enough. But you could get prepared somewhat. Point being is this. Today is March 28th. If you live in a state where you can buy a gun and you can get it relatively quickly, do it if you don't have one. Not saying you need to get armed to the teeth. Protection, guys. Personal protection. Because if anything of what I just said is true and possibly could happen, whether it's 3 days of darkness, 30 days of darkness, because that's what it's alluding to, is the 3 days of darkness. If that happens, we're talking darkness that you don't know. Okay, and I'm going to explain it to you like this. When we went to Kentucky, we went in a cave. We went to Mammoth Cave. It's Point Mammoth Cave, where the guy's talking about how they explored the caves back in the day, and obviously there's no light, and they had torches and whatever. He turned off the lights. This is what it looked like to these people. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face. And I, being the guy I am, I snuck around behind my wife and my granddaughters, and they turned the lights on, and I wasn't there, and they go, like, where'd Pops go? And I'm like, ah, right here. Anyway, that's what I do. But point being is, that's the kind of darkness we're talking about. Not like, oh, the power went out. Now, when you live in an area that you might have hurricanes or different situations where you lose power for a day or a few days or a few weeks, you can kind of get the sense of what I'm talking about. But generally in that situation, your whole city or state doesn't lose power. You might just lose power in the grid you're in. Imagine that where you live is total darkness. There's no Walmart. There's no grocery stores. There's no fast food. There's nothing. There's nothing open. So what happens at this point? Well, after a day, people will lose their shit. Now, you have to hope that those people will go to Walmarts and your local grocery stores and your convenience stores and wherever and start ransacking those places. Now, when you don't know when this darkness is going to end, is it 3 days? Is it 30 days? Is it 300 days? I don't know. If you don't know, no one knows. After all that's done, because they're not going to, one would think they're not going to be so stupid to go to Walmart and steal TVs. They're going to go and steal food, right? Water, groceries, whatever, supplies. They're going to go to your grocery stores, your Publixes, you know, your Winn-Dixies, whatever you have, your Kroger's, and do the same thing. Walgreens, your convenience stores. What happens after a week if it's still dark? Mass panic, guys, because now the grocery stores have been ransacked. There's no shipments going in. There's nothing running. What are they going to do then? They're coming to your house. So what I'm saying to you is get as prepared as you possibly can afford to be. If you can, buy a gun. Buy some ammunition. I'm not saying you got to go apeshit. Get a shotgun. They're relatively cheap. Ammo for those are relatively cheap. And they'll do a lot of damage if you need them to. And you don't have to be very accurate. You know what I'm saying? I call mine the mouse. Point and click. You don't have to aim. It's point and click. And the barrel point that way, and that person's coming that way, just blast them. So that's just me. I've said this time and time again. I get it. Don saying Don stuff. Guys, I just laid everything out for you. I don't know how much more serious this possibly could be. Now, we could wake up on April 9th and nothing's wrong. Fine. You bought a gun that you didn't need today. You bought some extra supplies that you didn't need today. But what do they say? Better safe than sorry? That's what I think we should all be accustomed to. Because bet your ass, you know who's going to get prepared? This guy right here. All right. With that being said, guys, please make sure you share this with your friends. You're following the show. Whatever podcast app you're listening to this on, make sure you share it on your social media if you have it. Share this with your friends, with your loved ones, with anyone that needs to know what the hell's going on. Make sure you follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and the True Social, Don't Tread on America, and on the Ticker Talker. No, the Twitter X Machine at DTUM_1775. And don't forget about our website, DontTreadOnAmerica.com, and our sponsors here, guys, DTOM Store. ReaperApparelCo.com, promo code DTOM, 10% off, guys. You guys have a great rest of your Thursday, and I'll talk to you again on Sunday. Peace.